Here. I'm glad you guys are here. It's hopefully a message that'll encourage you and inspire you a little bit with the name of Jesus. We just sang about that. We just sang actually two songs. I didn't know the songs that Margie was picking today, but a couple of them ended up being along the line of the name of Jesus. It is a powerful name. It's got something to it that is supersedes anything that we've probably give credit for in this life. And the name of Jesus, at times I've told the story before of driving an old truck, a 1970 Chevy pickup, little two-wheel drive. I bought it at a state auction for $350, and you could see right through the floorboards kind of thing. It needed some work, but it ran like a top. I mean, it had been maintained. It had 300,000 miles or whatever for a 1970. Was unbelievable, but it had probably had two or three motors put in over the years, and it ran. And anyway, somebody was giving away one of those big overhang camper things that go on the back and it hangs over the cab or the pickup, and they were giving it away, and it was a homemade family project that they had made out of 2x4s and plywood, and it had windows in it and a full-size door on the back of it. I mean, this thing was massive, heavy. You had to use kind of a winch crane system for putting it onto your truck and all these things. But anyway, I had that on the back of this old pickup, which made it squat a little bit, and a friend and I, both Christians, went out camping for a weekend, and we went driving around a lake near my house. It was called Lake Byron, and the wind was blowing, you know, 40 miles an hour kind of stuff. And as we went around a curve, I found out I was going too fast for having this camper on the back, and the whole truck started to lean to go up onto two wheels. And so as we're going around the curve, you get over to the edge of the road. It was a paved road, but then it dropped off. You know, as soon as you hit the edge of the pavement, you were going to drop down about 6 inches. So I knew that if the truck did that on two wheels, we were going to roll the whole thing. And so as we're driving along and it starts leaning and tipping, the first thing out of our mouth and the only thing out of our mouth was the name of Jesus. It was just Jesus, 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 Jesus. We just kept saying it over and over again. And pretty soon that truck just kind of came back down onto its wheels, and we never had to drop off the edge of that. And so that was one experience out of many, many that I could tell you where just saying nothing else would come out but the name of Jesus at that moment. It wasn't like, Jesus, keep him from tipping over. You know, we didn't have time for some big, long prayer. It was just saying the name of Jesus to be able to know that we were relying and depending entirely on him at that moment for the next few seconds. Whatever happened was going to be at that point on his shoulders, because we're calling out on his name. And I believe that his name is powerful like that. It is not like a, you know, a magic formula or anything like that, that if you say the name of Jesus three times, he appears. Okay, he doesn't work like that. But he is acknowledging our faith when we call upon his name. And in a moment like that, we could have started a string of profanity or, you know, whatever, and, you know, who knows what would have happened, but we didn't. We called on the name of Jesus, showing that you are Jesus. You are where our faith is to help us through that moment and to get us through that. So there's the opening, just an opening story. I hadn't even written that into my notes yet, but I just wanted to tell you there is power in the name of Jesus. But let's start with some prayer. Father, we are thanking you this morning for just your glory. I thank you for your name. I thank you for all that you stand for. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the power that you've enabled us with through his name. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given unto us to live out this life as a believer. And Father, we thank you for your plan and all that you've done to get us to this very moment in life. And Father, I pray this morning as we go through your word and look at scriptures that draw us towards you and that show us more about you and your nature and who you are and your plan for us, Lord, that we will be encouraged and leave a little different than we came in, that we'll walk out with an understanding that says, this is who I am in Christ, and I do have the name of Jesus at my disposal. Father, we're trusting you for it this morning. We rely on you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about the name of Jesus. I think for the believing Christians, for people that are calling on his name, understanding the glory of his name and what he stands for, understanding the majesty and the power that's in the name of Jesus is vital to our walk. And the reason I'm sharing is because I don't know if Christians are walking in it. as much, at least not as much as we should or could. Okay, now speaking and praying in the name of Jesus, like I said, it's not like a magic formula. But when we're speaking and praying in the name of Jesus, we pray meaning that we believe in who He is and what He did. When we do that, that is an expression of our understanding. It expresses that we understand the God-given delegated authority that has been given to us as His children to walk with God's power within us in the name of Jesus, okay? In Him and all that He did and stands for. Okay, especially in the ancient world that we read about in the Scriptures, a person's name and titles revealed a lot about somebody. Okay, there's so many descriptive things. Even when Jesus was named, an angel came and spoke to His Father and said, here's what you're going to name Him. Right? The angel had a specific name that they wanted Jesus to have. Okay, well, as you learn about somebody's spiritual name or their name in the Scriptures, it reveals a lot about their heritage. Okay, it reveals a lot about their authority, who they are, what kind of authority they have, and their status. Okay, so as you study and you learn, you become acquainted with the various names of Jesus. I didn't add up or count how many there is. There's a lot of different references and names for Jesus, okay, things that He's described as. But you learn a lot. You get important insight into His nature, okay, into His character, into His mission, okay, both here on earth and His mission in heaven. God had a plan. He was sitting right next to God when things were created. Okay, so we learn a lot about His roles on earth and in heaven. Okay, the nature of Christ as fully God and fully man, for example, is defined in the titles Son of God, Son of Man, Son of Joseph. Okay, they're all things that express that He was both God and man. Okay, the character of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, is unveiled by His claims to be the Good Shepherd. Okay, think of the implications being when He referred to Himself as the Good Shepherd, or the bread of life, okay, or the light of the world. Okay, they are descriptive titles for Him. Metaphorically, Jesus was referred to as the Lamb of God. Okay, there's a tremendous sermon in that on the Lamb of God and what that stands for. Okay, He is metaphorically referred to as a door. He is referred to as the way, the truth, and the life. And then says, no one comes unto the Father except through Him. The roles of Jesus as the Son, okay, in the second person of the Trinity, they're pronounced by His titles such as Christ, okay, or Emmanuel, God with us, okay, being described as the Word, capital W, that dwelt among us. Okay, that is implying that He is part of God. Jesus' name in itself implies that He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and the one who saves God's people from their sins. Okay, that was what the angel said, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save people from their sins. Jesus is referenced throughout the Scriptures with titles like Almighty, Anointed, the Christ, Christ Jesus, Christ the Lord, Emmanuel, God, the Holy One of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Lord Christ, Joshua, Lord, Lord Christ, Lord God, Lord Jesus Christ, Man from Heaven, Master, Messiah, King, our Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, Son of Man, and our Sovereign Lord. Okay, all are references, and there's more than that. The names of Jesus end up being for the Christian believer like an endless resource for worship. Okay, in our worship services, so often we sing about the names of Jesus and give glory to Him. We proclaim or pray or sing these different names of Jesus. And as we do, we're contemplating and celebrating the powerful beauty and the significance of who Jesus is and what he stands for. Even in Psalm 135, first three verses starts with this. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant." In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, it implies that the name of the Lord is like a place of safety that we can run to. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe." Even the account of the life of Jesus, the death and the resurrection, all that is given in the scriptures to rightly exalt him above all others. Okay, which indicates that when you believe in his name, okay, when you believe in all that Jesus came and did and is doing, okay, it comes with some benefits. Okay, believing in the name of Jesus comes with some profound influence, some profound benefit for your life. In John chapter 20, at the very end of his writing, John says this in 20 verse 30. He says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And you know, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, I know you've heard me quote many times from Acts chapter 3, but it gives a great example of what faith in the name of Jesus is capable of in your life and in somebody else's life. Look at Acts 3:1. Talks about when Peter and John, it says, "Peter and John went up to gather into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them or of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Okay, of course, the people that were nearby knew this guy that was walking, leaping, praising God, walking in with John and Peter. They knew him as that man that had sat outside the temple every day. He had been there coming probably for years. So they all started crowding around him. They crowded around Peter and John and this guy that was no longer lame, in awe, wondering, how is it possible? What happened? How did he get this strength back in his legs? So Peter responds. He reacts to that in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "When Peter saw it, as they gathered around him, he answered unto the people and said, 'You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" Then he reminds them that Jesus, the Son of God, whom many of those that were questioning this miracle had actually been responsible for crucifying and hanging on a cross, he reminds them that this is that same Jesus that he is talking about. And then he says this in Acts 3:16. He said, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Of course, the religious spirits were stirred up in the people. Okay? And by religious spirits, I don't mean good ones. Okay? Religion is opposite of grace, opposite of Jesus, unless it's true religion. But the religious spirits got stirred up in the people and they took Peter and John into custody. They arrested them because of this miracle. And they demanded to know how this man was healed. Well, Peter, again, taking an opportunity to share Christ one more time, answers them in Acts 4:7. Says, and when they had set them in the midst, they made Peter and John stand in front of them. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God rose from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. Okay, so then those same carnal religious folks that commanded them, came to and that had arrested them, told Peter and John not to go and speak or teach at all anymore in the name of Jesus. Okay, they did not want them to speak or tell anyone about the name of Jesus. You know why? Okay, because the demons in them wanted to suppress the power in the name of Jesus. They did not want Jesus to be exalted. And for those rulers, they had some spiritual pride stuff going. So in them, if Jesus is getting the credit for these miracles, then they're not. Okay, they wanted to be the healer, the deliverer, the one that had all the authority. They wanted people to look to them. So that was a part of their reasoning. But ultimately, it was the devil not wanting the name of Jesus to be spread as being the deliverer, the Messiah, the Christ, the healer. Okay, the demons in them wanted to suppress the name of Jesus, to keep it from being exalted. And I'll tell you right now that the devil does not want you to use the name of Jesus either. He wants you to feel embarrassed. He wants you to feel like, you know, it's just not time for that. It's out of place. That you don't need to speak in the name of Jesus or to throw his name around. Okay, but those who place their faith in Jesus, we understand that Jesus is the name that is above every name. Okay, it is worthy to be shared and expressed. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul said it this way. He said, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and of things in the earth and the things under the earth. Feel the reference there. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, all to the glory of God the Father. Okay, every time we use the name of Jesus and speak it out, God gets glory. This is his Son. This is God in the flesh. This is the Almighty. This is part of him. Okay, God's plan was that your faith in Jesus would enable you to live a supernatural life because he gave you the name of Jesus to be used to glorify and point people to him. Okay, the name of Jesus was specific, and I'm not doing it justice telling about why he was named Jesus and all that. We'll get into that a different time. But God gave him a specific name, a specific role, a specific nature, character, all the things that Jesus was, the fortitude to follow through on God's plan and do all these things so that we would have the name of Jesus at our disposal, so that we would have all that he stands for when we receive that into ourselves to then be able to use his name to point people and to glorify the Almighty God. Let me give you another example of using the name of Jesus effectively. It's at a time in the book of Acts, actually, when there was a demon-possessed woman that was following Paul and some of the other disciples around, and she was mocking them. She had an evil spirit, and the Bible calls it a spirit of divination. She was using sorcery and stuff to be able to give her masters gain. They were making money off of her. She had demonic power to be able to bring things to pass. And so she was following them around, it says, for several days, mocking them and making fun of these guys. Okay, well, Paul finally gets fed up with it. And he uses the powerful name of Jesus to put a stop to it. It's in Acts 16:16 is where it starts. It says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, which showeth unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour." That's using the name of Jesus effectively. Okay, that is what is rarely seen in the body of Christ today. Using his name as an authoritative, this is what's about to happen in the name of Jesus. Okay, that is speaking in the name of Jesus. Okay, the name of Jesus is powerful enough that when you believe in who he is and what he has done, that you can use his name and the authority and the power in that name that it stands for to literally alter your circumstances, to change the environment that you're in. You know, I can recall numerous occasions in my life where I have spoken the name of Jesus in a similar situation like that to put a stop to something or to open a door that needs to be open or to cast something out of my life or out of somebody else's life so that we can have freedom. I remember one time in a campground that I was at with some family, and there was a swarm of bees that were bothering us, just would not leave us alone. Just seemed like they were all over the place and kept bugging and bugging. And I got to a point, kind of like Paul did here with this spirit that was bugging them. I finally said, in front of all these lost people, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. And all these bees kind of swarmed around and then zoomed off. Okay, and it was enough that the people around me, their eyes got big. Nobody really said anything, but nobody could deny what they had just seen and heard. The name of Jesus had an effect. It was glorified at that moment because they couldn't deny what they just saw. Their own eyes saw this, just like the lame man that Peter and John brought into the temple, leaping and praising God. They all knew this guy had been out there for years. They couldn't deny what was seeing and with their own eyes. Okay, now, when I worked for UPS, it was a time for a while I was a delivery guy, and you know that you're going to encounter dogs, okay, during that. And I remember one in particular in Wamsutter. There was this young girl, she was probably 8 or 9 years old, playing in her front yard, and I went to deliver something, and they had a fence, you know, around the yard and a chain link gate, and she was on the other side of that, and I had something that needed to be taken to the door. I needed a signature from an adult. And so I'm walking up to the gate, and I'm thinking, hey, can you go get your parent? And all of a sudden, around the corner comes a Rottweiler, right? And she starts saying, my dog's going to get you. And, you know, and I'm like, I got to go in there anyway. Okay, well, the name of Jesus is all I could think of that was going to help me at that moment. I had to do what I had to do. So I walked in and said, in the name of Jesus, you stay right there. And I walked up and did what I needed to do and kept that dog at bay. That's one of many times where I've had to use the name of Jesus. God gave us an authority over plants and animals. If you don't know that, you can experience that personally by using the name of Jesus. Okay, put it in its place. Do what you need to do. Okay, well, at one time in life, I worked in a facility with people with, we called them developmental disabilities back then, but it was severe mental and physical disabilities, to the point that several of the guys, one guy that I can remember in particular, I think his name was Roy, he was like a, I don't know how to describe it, like a bodybuilder in a wheelchair. I mean, he was built. Okay? He had this wedge shape to him, but his legs didn't work. But his mental capacity was that he couldn't speak or communicate other than maybe grunts and point kind of stuff. Had a violent, violent temper that if his buttons got pushed, that he would get very violent and take it out on whatever was close. So if there was somebody there, if he could get a hold of somebody's hair, they were going to get flung around the room kind of thing. Okay, or if there was nobody close by, he would bite himself. Okay, and do damage to himself or hit himself, and other things would go on. Well, in this facility we worked at, he had hurt enough people and staff and whatever that when it came time for bath day, okay, for this guy, and somebody needed to take him, give him a shower, or help him with that, you had to take him into a special room, and they had a wheelchair lift kind of thing that you would actually put I forget all the technical names, but you put this thing underneath him and then lift him up with a crane, and it would put him down in the tub. Okay, well, nobody would do it. Okay, and they looked around the room and they said, Gary, you have probably the best relationship with him. Why don't you do it? Okay, so this is one of those times where I'm thinking it's going to take Jesus to get this done, because anybody who had tried ends up getting hurt, bit, kicked, something was going to happen. So I took the guy into this room, into a separate room from everybody else, and we started the process. And immediately I began singing praises and talking to him about Jesus and just being as calm and nice as I could until he saw what we were in that room to do, and then it all hits the fan because he was not going to go through with this. So I hugged him, came from behind, and I hugged him as tight as I could, tried to keep from being headbutted. And I spoke the name of Jesus. And I said, in the name of Jesus, all fear, leave right now. You will not torment this man for the next 30 minutes. This man is now under my custody. He is in my care in the name of Jesus. And I began to speak the name of Jesus. And guess what? I did it in front of cameras because they had a camera in that room and whatever. So the nurse's station or whoever's watching. And I'm hugging this guy, speaking over him in the name of Jesus, that he will not be afraid of what we were about to do. And we got the bath done, got him all shined up. And by the time we get back to the room, I wheel him in and he's grinning from ear to ear. He's all cleaned up. His hair's combed. He's looking good. And he knew it. Okay, and so we walk back into the room and they're like, how did you do it? What did you do? We can't believe it. And I said, it's all in the name of Jesus. Okay, because that's where the power came from. It wasn't me or my strength. It was Jesus in me that was even giving me the ideas on what to do and how to go about it. Okay, the name of Jesus, you have to know, is above all forces. Okay, it is more powerful than anything the devil has in his domain. Okay, the name of Jesus is above every name. That means anything that you can name. The name of Jesus is above depression. The name of Jesus is above fear. The name of Jesus is above poverty. The name of Jesus is above every demonic force that might rise up against you. Okay, now, is it right for us who believe in Jesus and all that he is and was to throw his name around like a trump card? Absolutely. If we're doing it so that God gets the glory, Jesus gave us himself, sacrificed himself for us so that we have that at our disposal, so that we can use his name. You ever see where, you know, we always pray and we end the prayer with, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there's a reason for that. We are sealing that saying, this is being prayed in all that Jesus came, did, and is doing. In his name, we say, amen. Okay, now, after Jesus had sent his disciples, if you remember, he sends them out. He called 70 of them together. It's more than just the 12. And he sends them out to heal and to deliver and to do miracles and things in his name. And they came back with an astonishment. And they said, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. They had learned in that experience that if they tacked on in Jesus' name to stuff, things happened. Okay? And so they came back in astonishment. Jesus reminds them pretty quickly that he and his name is clearly above all the power of Satan and all of his minions, all his demonic forces. He was sitting right next to God the Father when Satan was cast out of heaven. He says, I even saw him fall like lightning, okay, as he was cast out. Jesus reminded them that he is above any power of the enemy. And then he tells his followers this. In John 14, 12, he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in me, in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, Jesus says. Okay, in John 15, 16, he says, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And again in John 16, 23, he says, In that day you shall ask me nothing, but verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name, ask, and you shall receive, so that your joy may be full. In other words, use my name. Use the name of Jesus. Use it at your disposal. Okay, now, believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, comes with some pretty good perks. Okay, I think there's some advantages to being a Christian than being a non-Christian. You can worship and serve whatever you want. There's power in demonic stuff. There's a hope that you can get by, you know, whatever. Loving whatever false god you want to. You can gain some things by that. I won't say that you're not going to feel a little better about life or whatever. But you will never have the power of the Almighty God at your disposal like a true believer. Like a Christian that says, in the name of Jesus, let this be done. Okay? Or in the name of Jesus, stop. And it has to happen. Okay? He wants you to call on his name. That is one of the greatest benefits of being a believer. He wants you to ask for things from God in his name. He wants you to speak to your circumstances in his name, because he is glorified through it, and in turn God is glorified in the Son. Okay, when you call upon his name or you use his name to your advantage, you're expressing that you truly believe that he is the Son of God. That he is the Messiah, that he is the Anointed One, he is your Lord and Savior. So every time you speak in his name, you are declaring that that is where your faith is. You trust and believe in the name of Jesus. Father God, we're praising you this morning, and I do thank you that you have given us you, that you gave us your life, that you gave us that authority and power through your name, that we may approach the Father, that we may approach life differently because of you and your name being a part of our life. We believe in who you are and what you've done. We believe you're not just the Son of God, but you're the Son of Man. You walked with us. You experienced the things that we go through, so you knew that we would need something supernatural to help get us through. Father, we trust you today. We thank you for opening our eyes, opening our understanding. Help us walk in that God-given authority that you have given to us to experience life to the fullest, to walk out the principles, the precepts, the guidance that you give us every day, walking in your power and your anointing through your name. Father, we thank you for it. We exalt you together. We say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.